National Shop Stewards Network Online Workers Rally, taking fight to the bosses on the 14th of February. The National Shop Stewards Network, NSSN, hosted its fifth online meeting of workplace trade union reps and workers during the pandemic. NSSN Chair Rob Williams introduced the meeting explaining, "This is a meeting deliberately called so that union reps and activists like yourselves can come together and discuss. Workers organized in the union movement can take on the bosses and their Tory government's offensive." He set the scene saying, "For a period at leadership level at least, too many in the union movement called off disputes, suspended action, and, for a time, the basic ability of the unions to organize as independent organizations was in question. This reached its lowest level last autumn when the government announced a watered-down version of furlough." The General Secretary of the TUC, Francis O'Grady, stood practically hand-in-hand with Tory Chancellor Sunak and the head of the bosses' organization CBI. Ironically, they were forced to retreat. One of the 20-plus U-turns forced on the Johnson administration. The latest U-turn has been over their proposed review of employment rights and regulations post-Brexit. The fact that the Tories have retreated so quickly on these initial proposals, without a big mobilization, is a sign of their weakness. And we are saying that that should now be built upon to face down the offensive that the Tories and bosses are raining down on workers. This is the role of the NSSN. Transport workers prepare for battles ahead. Jared Wood, a member of the RMT Transport Union's national executive, spoke to the meeting in a personal capacity. The RMT was one of the founders of the NSSN. Jared explained the challenges the union is facing at present and the battles to come. He said, "The government is going to publish a roadmap out of lockdown, but the issues of maintaining a safe workplace haven't gone away, and will continue to be issues for some time yet. We have to remain vigilant as shop stewards and union reps, and make sure that our members are not put in vulnerable positions. The government has also got a roadmap out of the consequent economic crisis. But their roadmap is one of job losses, redundancies, and attacks on terms and conditions. In trying to recover from this crisis, they will attempt to put the bill onto the shoulders of working people to make sure that the rich and powerful and the bosses don't suffer." Judd outlined the government's plan to reorganize the rail industry and franchise system, and how the RMT is going to fight it. "The reorganization is just one of the fronts the RMT is fighting on. In the RMT we are going to be facing a wholesale reorganization of the national rail industry. We are going to be facing cutbacks on suburban and metro systems that are generally funded by local authorities such as TfL. But also Merseyrail and others will be facing similar problems. And that's not even to start on the crisis that we are facing in the maritime industry, and also the bus workers that RMT represents, who are predominantly outside of London. In our engineering sectors, we've got the historic Doncaster Rail Works under threat of closing down altogether." He ended by urging, "It's absolutely critical, in my view, that we do everything we can to build a fight back across trade unions, and also take the companies completely out of private hands and renationalize them." Determined British Gas strike against fire, and Rahilas Robinson, a British Gas worker and a GMB union rep, told the meeting, "Management have gone from shedding tears in meetings at the way we helped food banks during the pandemic, to laughing at us for not getting national publicity for our strike." Le summed up the attitude of British Gas bosses who are attempting to fire and rehire engineers, "A disgraceful tactic to force through changes that will result in worse pay, hours and terms and conditions. While bosses have lied, while earning absolutely fantastic wages and none of them are suffering, the company has made £900 million profit. Workers have taken many days of strike action, picketing British Gas offices, and organizing protests in all weathers. The strike is currently on hold to allow talks, but Liz told the meeting that more strikes are planned, and workers will walk out if bosses don't back down. If it's not acceptable, we will be back on the picket line." She also warned other workers, "If British Gas get away with this, other workers will face the same tactic used against them. Hospital Porter's action against Rota changes Lee Williams, Unison branch secretary representing striking Heartland's Hospital Porters, detailed why workers have been on strike at Heartland's Hospital in Birmingham over bosses' plans to impose a new rota that will force workers onto rotating shifts, which will hugely disrupt porters' lives. Lee explained, the porters at Heartland's were among the first workers in the NHS to be farmed out to the private sector at the turn of the century. It took 17 years and a merger to get us back in-house, and 2 years down the line this attack has come. Workers have built their lives around a particular pattern of working, including the enhanced rates that workers get for evening work, but are now expected to change to a significantly different pattern. The workers have been taking blocks of multiple days of strike action throughout the dispute, which has run for 12 months. The porters are battling to not be picked off one by one, but to ensure nobody is left worse off. The workers are proud NHS workers, but are appalled that the NHS tried to use that fact against them in trying to stop them taking strike action at all. But they were determined to take on the NHS Trust, which applauded the NHS like everyone else, except for their own workers. The workers are holding an online rally on the 25th of February. Rolls-Royce workers' strike action wins victory. The future of the Rolls-Royce factory in Barn Old Swick, Lancashire, and its 350 jobs has been secured after a deal was agreed between the workers' union Unite and the company. It was supported overwhelmingly by the workers, and followed 9 weeks of determined strike action. The deal struck by Unite included a 10-year manufacturing guarantee for the site, a guaranteed minimum headcount of 350 workers, and the creation of a Center of Excellence training school supporting the development and manufacture of zero-carbon technologies and advanced manufacturing excellence. Ross Quinn, the Unite regional officer with responsibility for Barn Old Swick, said, "When many could be forgiven for thinking there was nothing that could be done, our Unite reps led these workers in the town of Barn Old Swick, and collectively they stood as one to say no way." He explained the process by which workers and the union, together with the community, organized, steeled themselves for a fight, and embarked on their strike action and campaign, which won their demands. They took inspiration from workers fighting at Camel Laird Shipbuilders on Merseyside, and in turn, have inspired workers fighting elsewhere. Ross concluded, "The messages that the vital importance of being organized, of understanding our history. They have achieved a massive victory from where we were at the beginning." Workers speak from the floor about their battles and victories. Many more trade unionists and reps spoke from the floor about the fight in their workplaces and unions. Martin Powell Davies, a teacher and National Education Union rep, told the meeting, "The action that new members took in January, forcing the government to close schools, lifted a lot of people's spirits. Trade union members acting together to force the government into making a U-turn is something that is definitely worth celebrating." Section 44, which is legally an individual right, was used by us as a group of individuals acting collectively, showing how it can be done. Mark Evans, Carmarthenshire Unison Union Secretary, spoke in a personal capacity. He has recently been involved in pay negotiations with employers and commented, "If you needed any evidence that the Tories intend to make us pay for the COVID crisis, it's the pay freeze." Dave Warren, a retired DVLA worker and PCS union member, talked about the situation at his old workplace that has made the news due to the amount of COVID cases. 535 COVID cases have been reported at the DVLA in Swansea, including one death. But the vast bulk of the COVID-19 cases have happened more recently in the second wave as staff are made to attend work in person. The PCS union leadership has sadly left the branch to fight on its own, but a real fight is needed to stop workers' health and lives being in danger. A strike ballot has now correctly been called, which the union should go all out to win. Crease, a young worker in Birmingham, spoke from Youth Fight for Jobs, which is relaunching to fight the coming tide of youth unemployment, as well as the low pay, zero-hour contracts and exploitation young workers face. One Kasab, a Unite officer in London, gave the meeting an example of workers prepared to fight. "There were 3 days of strike action by school workers in Hackney demanding COVID safety, no job losses and attacks on terms and conditions. There are workers out there prepared to take action. The workers are also aware that there are school closures on the horizon in the borough, and are planting a flag now, to say that we are going to fight them when they come. Gary Clark, a Communication Workers Union branch secretary who has written for The Socialist about the battles in Royal Mail, told the meeting of the victory that kicking out boss Rico Back represented, and also of the struggles that continue. Mo, a London bus driver in Unite, has been attacked by his employer for fighting for safety for bus drivers. 47 London bus drivers have died after catching COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. He spoke about strike action and strike ballots that are taking place in London over pay and remote signing on. Nearly 2,000 bus drivers are due to go on strike later this month over wage cuts. The 24-hour strikes will take place over 3 days from February 22nd to 24th. Others are balloting over changes to how they work. He explained, by introducing remote signing on, drivers would not report to a depot, but would meet their bus and begin work at a location such as a bus stop. There will be no checks to ensure the driver is fit and well to drive a bus, and a lack of access to toilet facilities, rest, and canteen facilities. Drivers will be forced to wait for their bus to arrive in all weathers, and there will be a greater risk of exposure to COVID-19 in travelling to a location which has not been subject to the risk assessment and health measures. GKN workers prepare fight to save plant. Frank Duffy, a worker and Unite trade union convener at the GKN car parts plant in Birmingham, spoke to the meeting about the closure threat at the plant, putting up to 519 jobs at risk. "The owners have not given us the rationale for closing the plant, they only claim that it isn't viable, whatever that means," Frank said. The trade union and workers are preparing for action when the time is right and are taking inspiration from workers at Rolls-Royce, who Frank has been in touch with. Unite National Officer Dees Quinn also spoke about the campaign at the plant and what they are doing so far. He praised the workers, saying, "The confidence they have given me, through their determination not to allow the bosses who have lied, cheated and been dishonorable all the way through their ownership, to get away with it, is really a breath of fresh air." Couriers fight against destitution. Key working couriers currently locked in a battle against York City Council in a bid to protect income and jobs were represented at the meeting by their union IWGB chair Christensen to Barbara. Christian said that he had been invited by York Socialist Party to speak at the meeting. He explained that the gig economy riders, who have worked throughout the pandemic delivering meals, groceries, and medicines, have seen incomes plunge rapidly due to restrictions on their ability to use York's pedestrian zone. They are facing fines and termination of contracts due to untimely deliveries. Christian said, "Key workers' voices have been kicked into the long grass, and we don't currently have collective bargaining to change the app's algorithm to take into account these pedestrianized zones. We need companies and the council to listen to us to change it, to stop riders being made destitute every single day